You're listening to the USEA official podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of eventing, covering all the big events, professional tips and tricks, interviews, special guests, and the latest USEA eventing news.
Welcome back to the USEA official podcast, listeners, and our first team talk show of 2024. It is an Olympic year. We're going to be saying the P word a lot over the coming months. One man who I am sure has been building up to this year for what feels like forever. It is finally here. Bobby Costello, how the devil are you?
Good day, Nicole. I'm doing super well. Doing very, very well. Good to be back on.
Does it feel a little bit mad in so much as obviously we always kind of build up to the Olympics and we're talking about the Olympics and they're 2 years away and 1 year away. All of a sudden we're in March, the Olympics are at the end of July.
Yeah, and especially because, you know, for us, the Pan Ams were so late last year, end of October, which was very late for a championship. And we knew going into it that it was going to seem like that was going to end and it was going to seem like Paris is right there, which is true. So but I like a little bit of the crazy season like this, so it's good.
How has the winter unfolded? What has been going on sort of behind the scenes from a team perspective? Have you had much team training and that kind of thing over the winter months, or is it all starting to ramp up now?
So the way that things go, like within high performance now, basically ever since back a couple of years ago, there was a whole task force to kind of look at the program and see what direction it needed to head in. And part of it was that, you know, in my role, I was going to be coming in kind of more of a team manager and kind of keep tabs on everybody's program, making sure they're headed in the right direction, give my advice and observations. And so we don't have many team training sessions like we did, like when I was doing team stuff. Having said that, though, Ian Stark was out in California at the beginning of the winter, and some of the West Coast riders were able to ride with him out there. He then came to the East Coast and had a couple of days with kind of the majority of the riders that are in Ocala. So that was great. And then a couple of weeks ago, anybody that could make it came down to Ocala, and we had a day of jumping at the World Equestrian Center because Gregory Bodo, one of the show jumping course designers, was designing there that week. So we watched every class that he did. The riders rode in a couple of the classes, meter 30, meter 35, and it was incredibly educational and really, really well worth it. And then otherwise, you know, I go around and visit the riders at their own training bases, you know, see how the horses are going and the way they're looking. And I'm happy to say that all our horses are looking very strong and fit for this time of year. So I'm very, very happy.
It feels like the start of the season has kind of brought about everybody hitting the ground running. We've had, I guess, two big ones so far, two big opportunities to see some of those kind of key combinations in contention. The first being the Aiken Showcase, the Eventing Grand Prix at Bruce's Field a few weeks ago, which was dominated by Will Coleman. I'm going to start there because Bobby, Will obviously has had some brilliant championship form in the last couple of years, and Off the Record has been a real star for him. Off the Record finished second. I have to admit to being massively impressed by Gin Tonic, who has come out this season looking like an absolute beast. He looks so well.
Yeah, he's looking very, very fit. I think, you know, Will knows that he's a bigger horse and, you know, he is on a mission, I think, with all of his horses because they're all going so well. But it was really nice to see, you know, that horse looking so fit, so happy and so solid in all the phases, especially for, you know, still early March when that competition was a couple of weeks ago. So, he rode beautifully. It's a very different competition. The cross country can either look like it's a mess, like if people are just galloping around 90 million miles an hour. And then there are those people like Coleman on both of his horses that just rode so beautiful, so smooth. I think it was a very useful outing for you know, those types of horses that a little bit more experienced, a little bit more rideable, So I think he actually put on a clinic that weekend and just rode beautifully. It was really fun to watch.
It was interesting, actually, because like you say, you could really see the difference those experienced horses, particularly a number of whom that kind of ended up in the top 10, led by Chintonic, that actually, I mean, Will knew he had, I think, about 15 seconds in hand when he went cross country. He used 11 of them. Like, he could just cruise around, used it almost as a schooling exercise, and the horse looked very, very comfortable. Liz Halliday as well didn't seem to totally let the handbrake off a couple of hers. So people very much kind of, yes, being competitive, but also looking forward to what's coming up over the coming weeks. I have to say, Boyd Martin's Federman B looked super speedy cross country, very easily speedy though. Like, he looked really, really comfortable.
Yeah, those top, you know, six, seven horses looked really, really good. And I thought that, you know, it was a useful exercise for them, and tons of atmosphere. They get the whole community to come out, and dressage and show jumping day was freezing cold and not so nice. But then cross country day was just beautiful and sunny and what you would like to see in Aiken in the winter time. So I think, you know, from that standpoint, it was a huge success.
How much do you sort of focus on the fact, obviously, the show jumping course designer, you've been and jumped some of their tracks and kind of been doing your homework there. Xavier Lesource, who was on the ground jury for the Olympics in his home country in Paris this summer, was on the ground jury for the Aiken Showcase. How much do you consider that, and how much did you kind of take into account what he was looking for in the first place?
Yeah, that's a superb question, because, you know, everybody was scratching their heads a bit, you know, throughout the day and then afterwards. And because there were some real huge discrepancies in the judging. But like I said to everyone, we are so lucky to have him, to have had him in Aiken, to, I think, have him again in Kentucky. And he's not going to change his style. So, you know, not that you know, it's a little bit hard to ride for what just one judge is seeing. But I think the riders, you know, they were a little bit disgruntled about some of the discrepancies, but it's just reality. You know, he really, I think, liked to see the horse absolutely pull at the highest point. You know, nose out a little bit, short neck, he's gonna, you know, just crunch you if you're riding your horse with too short a neck. So I think all in all, it'll be a good exercise, because you know, I think in general, I would say, and I don't think it's just in the US, but people do get away with riding their horses in too short of a frame. And I think, you know, I think that was the big takeaway from his comments, and he actually was very generous, giving lots of comments on the test. I saw some of them. So that'll be good. And the riders can go away. And some of them actually were able to have a discussion with him, and that was really positive. So I think going forward, you'll look back and think it was actually a really good thing that he was there.
It's educational, isn't it? It's better to kind of find out this now and to look at what he's looking for, particularly now. And like you say, three judges, but you want to be leaving no stone unturned in the build-up to Paris. So a learning opportunity, it should be said. Right, Carolina. Let's talk Carolina, because we were actually talking literally just as Carolina has finished. So you have been in the Carolina bubble for the last few days. Liz Halliday, another win for her, her second win in the four-star. I think her fourth win at Carolina International overall. Mixed Master C, who was second here last year. Another very impressive finishing score. I mean, he finished on a score of about
20.5
last year. Yeah. And then, 22.5 this year. So he obviously loves the venue, but actually he led from the front very convincingly and had over an 8 penalty victory. So he was a very, very comfortable winner. I think Liz will be very pleased with how he felt in all three phases. Would you agree?
I would absolutely agree. He looked fantastic all weekend, and I was so happy with the way that he went yesterday for Liz. You know, there's no getting around. He is a big, very, very strong horse, and she's always tinkering around to try to get the best performance out of him. And he looked very strong yesterday, but very rideable, especially very rideable in the combination. So I think Liz was really excited, and she won it going away. But several good performances, you know, it was a very quality field, actually, which was excellent, very competitive. And so it was great to see, you know, the track was big enough. I don't think it was too big. It was wonderful, especially after Aiken, having a real gallopy course where the horses could just get out there and stretch their legs and feel really good about themselves afterwards. So I was really, really thrilled with the competition.
There were some other really notable performances as well. Caroline Pamuchu, HSH Blake, of course, one of the first big occasions we've seen that combination. We didn't see them at the showcase. They've had, I think, a national run as part of their sort of season prep, but actually first big international since their win of the Pan American Games. They finished second, looked very comfortable again in all three phases. Megan O'Donoghue, Palm Crescent, lovely to see them on the podium. But then some other really kind of familiar faces to Delhi at QC Diamond Tower was up there. Liz Halliday, Coolie Nutcracker, Doug Payne's Quantum Leap, who did a massive climb after dressage. I think he was equal 24th after dressage and finished on his dressage score. One of only a couple of horses to do so, actually. I think Mixmaster C being the other, because not many people made the time. In fact, I think only two people made the time, Liz and Mixmaster C, and then Doug and Quantum Leap.
I think Waylon Roberts made the time as well. I'm just looking down the results as we're speaking.
Oh, he did. He did. Beg your pardon. He just had one rail in the show jumping. But other than that, he had a super speedy round. In fact, his was so speedy, he made everybody else look like they were jumping a different track, to be honest. Very comfortably inside the time, which on a day it wasn't that straightforward to make it, he made it look so. So what happens over the coming weeks now? Obviously, kind of everybody's plans for the big spring targets are different. We have got Kentucky on the horizon, badminton on the horizon, and then the four-star long format and trial. They're the last three sort of selection trials in as such in inverted commas. So, you know, a lot of the big guns, it's safe to say we're going to see them feature at one of these events. How is that plan decided, Bobby, and kind of what guidance is given to the riders in terms of where they should go? And then ultimately, I guess the decision is down to them.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I think they would love for the selectors to just tell them what to do or what where they would like to see them run, but they're not going to do that. So, and I don't blame them at all, because I was a selector for years and years and years. And so they're just, you know, they're going to sit back and watch the performance at the venue and the class that they decide to run in. I think Kentucky will be interesting. I think you'll see some of the very established five-star horses probably do the four-star there. Not exclusively, but I think that's going to be a very competitive division this year. You're going to have, you know, some of the top candidates for the Olympics perhaps be in the four short. I think people are still trying to gauge exactly what they're going to do. You know, I don't know how many horses necessarily will come out of Tryon for the Olympics this year. I have a feeling that those may be some of the younger horses, but, you know, any horse can break through with a great performance and at least get on the, you know, on the list, the final list for Paris. So, you know, and kind of go through the process, which will be great for some of those younger horses and younger riders. So, I think we have a few going to badminton, but definitely Kentucky is going to be the big competition for selection this year.
It feels really interesting, actually. You kind of just touched upon it there, the four-star versus the five-star. And I think there'll be plenty of people speculating as to which horses are going to run in which division. But it feels like certainly there's enough excellent European form coming over that the five-star is going to be very competitive. But I can't help but feel that actually the handbags are really going to be out in the four-star, because when you start to pit these horses and riders against each other in that level of competition and having them literally up against each other actually makes it hugely, hugely competitive. They're all going to be on the same team in Paris, but actually riding in the Olympic Games is unbelievably special. And I have no doubt that there's going to be plenty of people that are sort of going to be finalising their plans to an absolute T to be on peak form for the end of April. In terms of the format for Paris, I feel like we talked about the 3-from-3 format a lot in the build-up to Tokyo, and we're sort of talking about it much less now in the build-up to Paris, but it's still a very, very kind of topical point. Is there any indication in terms of what you're looking for in that fourth person, or actually how that selection kind of, how that influences selection at all?
Yeah, I think it's something that's just going to kind of develop, you know, as we keep getting closer to the day of selection, honestly. think for us, early June. And yeah, it's a, you know, it's a competition unlike any other. And I, you know, kind of read through the, you know, the rules and the process for the extra fourth rider, just to make sure that, you know, if in fact we're in a position that we have to use that horse, you know, there's a lot of intricacies. You know, the FBI is always talking about trying to make the sport more accessible and understandable to people, but this format is challenging. So and you know, I think if you have to go to that fourth horse, especially during while the competition is going, I think you're probably out of the medal. So I think it's great to have that fourth horse, especially if something weird happens in the first jog, you can substitute with no penalty for that. I think after that, as the competition keeps going, you know, it will be great to have, you know, we will have a fourth very strong horse. Obviously, I think we have a really good, fairly deep bench this year. It's going to be, you know, horrible for that fourth person, especially if they, you know, obviously they have to make that trip and don't really get to run. But it is very interesting, not my favorite format, but we do what we do to stay in the Olympics. And it'll be very interesting going forward. And I have no idea right now, you know, exactly how the makeup is going to look.
Yeah, it does. I feel like it the kind of the temperament of the rider almost becomes as much of a discussion point. Obviously, you've got to have a great temperament to compete at the Olympics anyway, but that fourth man spot is a particularly tricky one to be in. What do we know about Paris, Bobby? Just refresh our memory in terms of kind of the information that's out there, because it's not going to be a five-star like, you know, 11 minutes at Kentucky or 11 and a half minutes of cross country at Kentucky or badminton, is it?
No, definitely not. You know, the dressage and show jumping will obviously be on a surface. I think they're already starting to build out the stadium because it's going to be a purpose-made venue. Obviously at Versailles, it's going to be put up and then taken down. We were there in August for the last kind of big kind of test run. It wasn't a test event, but that's when we saw the pontoons that go over the Grand Canal at Versailles being used, and they had some horses there to kind of, you know, gallop down some of the galloping lanes and jump a few jumps, and we could see the footing, which is exceptional. It's going to be a very, I think, twisty, turny, you know, and then a lot of then straight shot galloping, because it's on either side of the Grand Canal. So I think there's going to be a lot of 90 degree turns, a lot of quick, you know, gallop down the lane and then make a quick turn or a rollback. I think you're going to need a very fit, agile, nippy type of horse. So, and I think that, you know, the cross country is going to be 9 minutes plus. So not a terribly long track, but we've seen it before at an Olympics where, you know, 9 minutes going that fast with a lot of changes of directions, a lot of jumping efforts per minute, you know, it's exhausting. So it's a different type of competition, but no one should think just because it's going to be 9+ minutes that they can come, you know, with a horse that's kind of CCI 4-star short fit, because that's just not going to work. So I'm telling all of our riders, even if they're aiming for the 4-short at Kentucky, that they need to come as though they're going to be doing the 5-star as far as fitness goes, because I think horses do take a lot out of doing a 5-star as far as, you know, having that fitness, and then they can really bring that through the summer to the championship. So, yeah, I think it's going to be an incredible, incredible competition, and the venue will be like none other that we've seen, obviously. And I think whether people can get tickets, which I think it sounds very difficult, or they're watching it on their computer, it's going to be amazing.
The images of Versailles, listeners, look absolutely incredible. I think Paris are definitely going to pull out all of the stops, and it will make for some incredibly atmospheric and exciting competition as we know it as well. I find that really interesting, talking about the kind of the 5-star fitness this spring, even if they're aiming for the 4-stars, and making sure that the horses are going to be fit enough. I guess from your perspective as well, they've got to travel over, and that takes some fitness as well. Will you do a training camp in Europe like you did?
Actually, we are going to return to the exact same location. We were in Vittel, France before the World Championships. Obviously, it will be a lot less of a drive from Vittel to Paris, but we will be there probably for don't want to be there for too long, honestly. I think we'll be in Vittel for probably about 6 days before heading into the venue. You know, the competition is going to go very quickly. You know, I think we move into the venue on a Wednesday and then things get going on a Friday and end on a Monday. And then we have to be out, I think, like 10 o'clock that night for the show jumpers to come in. So, and the dressage horses to come in. So it's going to be, an incredibly tense couple, intense,
couple of weeks. am I right in thinking it's only one day of dressage?
It is. Yes. Correct. Yeah. Yep. So I think, dressage starts on actually the Friday, the Saturday is dressage. Sunday is cross country. Monday is the show jumping, I do believe.
Yeah, it's going to be super, super, super speedy. Are they doing a similar test to the one in Tokyo, like the shortened version?
Yes, they are. It's very short, but I've been, you know, obviously looking at that and studying that. We're probably going to, you know, I don't think we can use that in any of our lead-up competitions. That the FEI doesn't allow that, but we'll probably do a unrecognized combined test before the horses go over to France. Kind of combine that with our final gallop somewhere in the Mid-Atlantic. And so, yeah.
It's exciting. It feels like it's creeping closer. I remember that test from Tokyo, listeners. It felt like the intensity of it. You know, all of these individual movements on their own are all very achievable for horses of this level. You put them all together that quickly and it can unravel very quickly, unbelievably difficult. And I think we're in for an exciting summer. Bobby, thank you very much. One thing I didn't ask you about actually when we were talking about Carolina, but just want to touch upon it now, was the Futures Team Challenge, which took place, which was a bit of a standoff. I mean, I guess that the competition between you and Leslie Law also had its own place because you were both team captains and you had sort of a team makeup in across the 4-star and the 3-star divisions. Is that right?
Correct. Yes. We both had 2 3-star riders and 2 4-star riders on our team. It was, you know, it's very kind of in the background type of competition because the event is so big with so many horses, but it was a really great opportunity to go through the whole exercise of what a team competition is. We had some more experienced riders and then some riders that have had zero experience doing team competition. So it was a really useful few days. Leslie won, our team lost, which is kind of a bummer, but it was actually it was very friendly and fun. But you know, like a couple of those guys were, you know, that had not been on team things, like I was pretty tough on them as far as, you know, you really have to rise to the occasion and you know riding under pressure is tough, but you know, you need to, the more that you can practice it, get out there, be under that kind of pressure, the better your chances are when you're up for perhaps selection for a Nations Cup team or a senior team. So it was a very, very useful couple of days. We actually had 2 days of training before the competition started, and that was very, very useful. And I think the riders got a lot out of it and they were, you know, very engaged. And it was a good few days.
Is it a great opportunity to kind of get into that team environment and for you to get to know the riders a bit better and for them to kind of get a feeling as to what riding in the team is about and what it's like? Last year, there was obviously a couple of US teams that came over for Nations Cup legs in Europe, in Stregom and Buccolo in particular. Are there any plans to bring over a Nations Cup team for another of those legs in 2020?
Yes, absolutely. Yep. Leslie's group, he's the coach of our emerging and developing athletes. They will be actually coming over for a spell, like a few weeks. And I think, and I could be wrong, we should get Leslie on to talk about it. But I think they're going to be going to both Chatsworth and Mill Street.
Amazing.
For those competitions. And I think, you know, probably not the same riders at both. They're gonna a little bit mixing and matching. I think we have a couple of younger riders going over for the Branham under 25. So that program is just blossoming, and it's Leslie's doing an amazing job with that group of riders, and it just gets a little bit stronger, a little bit better. There's more people to choose from every year. We used to have to like beg people to, you know, to sign up to apply to go to these Nations Cups, and now it's becoming very, very competitive. And it's only good for the program. So really happy with that.
Amazing. Well, we will look forward to seeing some of them over on British soil and Irish soil, perhaps later on in the season. But we thank you so much for giving us, as always, such a candid insight into the US team's preparation for the Olympic Games this summer. It is an absolute pleasure, as always. Looking forward to following everybody's progress in the build up to the spring big ones. And fingers crossed, it is a proper showdown. I have absolutely no doubt that it will be. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. You take care.
Thanks, Bobby. Listeners, we hope you enjoyed that. These are always my favourite shows on the series. I absolutely love them. I hope you guys do as well. Don't forget that we will be back in a couple of weeks' time with another episode on the USCA official podcast. Do stay tuned. And I think we've got a Kentucky preview on the cards. And we've also, of course, going to be looking forward to the Intercollegiate Championships as well. So we will be back with you very soon. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the USCA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.